And you now bring in a Bradford Bulldog, a man hewn from the same stone as yourself, yeah. John Bateman. Yeah. Have you got enough?
Hang on. From me and John Bateman from the same stone. Come on, I don't know about that.
Have you got enough back rowers now?
Well, I mean, it just gives us a bit of, you know, we had an opportunity there where we felt it would add to our team. Well, a lot of our players know John personally as well. You know, and I've worked with him as a player, and he's, you know, such a great competitor. So it's not about, you know, where, it's about, it's the person. We're bringing in a great competitor. And yeah, it's a good time of the year, and we saw it as a, you know, only a benefit for us moving forward. So he'll be here next week, and looking forward to having him around.
Which is Hull KR at home for you. Is he a chance in that game, first and foremost?
Yeah, we'll see. He gets in over the weekend, so we'll see how he pulls up. But we did bring him here to play, not to sit on the sidelines, so we'll see how he goes.
The race for a league leader's shield that we all thought might have been Wigan's is now wide open.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great for the competition, isn't it? It's such a diverse comp. Anyone can take anything at the moment. So, yeah, we're just really concentrating on building our own game. We had a good reset a couple of weeks ago and went after some hard pillars in the game. And, you know, the guys have really bought into that. So, you know, we're just going to keep trying building our own process.
Hello from What Would Brian Bevan Say? I'm Rob London, and following the thrashing of the Pie Eaters, where are my two crusty and soggy-bottomed podcasters? Firstly, he's a pie packed with caveats and statistics, topped with a Ben Curry glaze and a baker's floor laden with Roderick tie cutoffs. Yes, it's Sam Sankey.
Hello.
And also, he's moved down south, so he's all artisan puff pastry with a kale and quinoa filling. Why? It's Dennis Waywell.
All right.
What a night, boys. What a night. Let's crack straight on this week. The team against Wigan was Dufty, Foulis, Ty, Lindop, Ashton, Williams, Drinkwater, Yates came into the front row, Pyle continued at hooker, Vaughan, Nicholson, Holroyd and Curry. Interchange bench was Musgrove, Crowther, Walker and Wood. Here's the highlights.
What an opening set for Warrington. Can they turn it into something glorious now? Or do Wigan hold out? William goes left. Dufty puts the kick into the in-goal area. Chased and scored by Aaron Lindop. I'll wait for you.
Sleight of hand and a twist of fate.
O'Neill. Gillis. Smith. Smith sees that Marshall is an option. And Liam Marshall there to collect.
With all that you. With all that you. Through the storm we reach the shore.
Powell goes out of dummy half. Curry straightens things up again. Look where they are. Two plays to go, and within sight of where they want to be. Drinkwater to Williams. Williams with a short pass, and that is a wonderful try from Adam Holroyd. With or without you, I can't live.
With or without you, yeah, yeah.
O'Neill spins it back. Smith will carry it in, puts it out to Farriman. Oh, it's an interception! It's an interception, and Matty Ashton, who's one of the quickest men on the field, is going to be chased, but he's not going to be stopped. It's going to be another Warrington try. Wow! What are we watching tonight?
And you give yourself away.
Williams puts it back, Dufty. Lindop steps inside, and Lindop suddenly got clear view of the line, and he's in for his second of the night. Look at that celebration. They know what that means.
You give.
Walker comes out and drink water, puts it back to Williams. Duffy with a missed pass, and this can only end one way. Matty Ashton with the try. He'll celebrate that moment, because that is the moment that Warrington go top of the Super League table. This is Smith. Eckersley's quick pass. It's another gift, but this time to the other winger. Gillis goes racing away. Is he going to be caught? I don't think he is. Marshall's in hot pursuit, but Gillis is over, and that surely wins the game.
Alright, check it out.
Cover the last play of the game. Back it comes. Williams, I think he was thinking about a drop goal, but Ty picks it up, and Ty running through some ragged defence, and Ty might just have finished it with a try on the line. The referee has seen enough. What a way to finish! An astonishing performance.
And love. Love will tear us apart again. Ah!
Ah! Ah! Ho, 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 ho. Final score, Wigan 4, Warrington 40. There were tries, 2 for Lindop, a brace horse of Ashton, Holroyd, Thulis, tie. Conversions, Thulis 6 from 7, and he missed a penalty. Attendance was 15,764. Warrington and Wigan first played each other on the 2nd of November, 1895, in the Northern Rugby Football Union League. The game last Friday was Wyre's biggest ever winning margin against Wigan in 129 years.
Mm.
Wow. Dennis, I mean, you've been Mr. Positive. We should probably start with you, because Sam and I predicted a defeat.
Yeah.
You didn't see this coming, did you? You saw it coming.
I saw this coming, and I mentioned it, I think, about the tiredness in the previous weeks I'd noticed in Wigan, and I thought they were there for the taking. So, you know, good performance. Away from home as well, which I thought, oh, that might take, you know, a bit of something out of our game. But it wasn't to be, was it? I mean, you know, I am now top of the table in the predictions. So
you
do need to keep coming to me first. So maybe, Sam, do you want to explain yourself?
Well, I'm eating humble pie rather than Wigan pie.
Oh, very good. Very good.
I must make a formal apology to Warrington Wolves and their team for doubting that they could do it 2 weeks in a row. And do you know what? Fabulous.
One player I doubted, Sam, of course, was Luke Yates. And right from the kickoff, there he is, dislodging the ball. What a start. We move it out left and Lindop's in.
Mm. Yeah, and I think they made quite a bit of that on Sky. It was a super tackle. It wasn't just him, but it set the tone, didn't it? Not just to dislodge the ball and get a good start, but to follow it up by scoring, you know, so quickly. It just gave such a lift to the team. So different to a few weeks ago at Wembley, wasn't it?
And I think Burgess made a note of that in his after the game speech. He sort of said that, you know, they weren't the best at Wembley. And we'd agreed with that. We sort of slated them a bit after that Wembley performance. Wigan then scored. I thought their best player, actually, that the one I thought they were toothless. Without, I don't want to keep mentioning this because I'm going to caveat all the way through, but without Field and French, they are a different proposition altogether. But they still have Marshall out wide, who's got pace to burn. And they score a try. They're kind of back in the game. But really, apart from that one try, was there anything else from Wigan on the night?
No, and I think as we go through it, that's something that that I want to just look at as we go through the game. We repelled attack after attack, and Wigan got more and more frustrated. And actually, Wigan looked a bit like Warrington have in previous years when they got to our 20 metres and thought, well, we don't really know how we're going to break this team down.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to break the timeline continuum, but there was a point in the second half, I think, where they did get a little bit of space down the right. And then they just looked wanting. They were like, well, where's French? Where's Field? Like, they just needed someone then to just make our line a bit depleted and a bit jagged. And they didn't have it. They sort of threw the ball back inside and there was no pace there, etc.
There was a lot of forwards that he put on the field, weren't they, for Wigan? Because like, they haven't got that speed, have they? I mean, Ashton then gets that intercept and shows what they're missing with, like, you know, Field and French, I suppose. So, yeah, they were reliant on the forwards to make an impact, but we seem to be able to match him now.
Yeah. Well, the next strike came from Holroyd. He's brave. We've spoken about his size. Are we going to see much more of Holroyd now with the inclusion of Bateman and Fitzgibbon coming back?
Well, a couple of things here. First of all, I messaged earlier in the day that during the game, I was going to keep my eye on Holroyd and for Wigan and Semba, because he's 6 inches taller than Holroyd and a stone and a half heavier. Everything you think you're going to want in a second row forward. But actually, Holroyd put the better performance of the two players on almost mistake-free. But this try that Holroyd scored, I actually think if you get a chance and if the listener gets a chance to go back and watch it, it's possibly one of the best tries we've scored in many a long time, because it came from dummy half with Yates as a dummy runner, but the ball went to Drinkwater. Drinkwater turned and Vaughan ran a line, but the ball went past Vaughan and onto Williams, and then Duft is on the outside. And 9 times out of 10, the ball is going too Dufty, isn't it? But of course, Holroyd is running that tight line, and a little soft pass from Williams put him over, and it just worked beautifully.
Sounds like you got off on that a bit there, yeah, Sam.
Didn't he? Really got off on that
really
one, hasn't he?
Really gone into depth on that, have you? What have you been
doing? It's the type of thing we've been wanting to see for so long, dummy runners. And it just worked perfect.
What's their big lad called at Wigan?
Nsemba.
I would swap him in a heartbeat. I would swap Holroyd in a heartbeat for him. That boy's got NRL written all over him. He's He was a nuisance all night. He might have dropped balls and stuff, but I would swap him in a heartbeat. Absolutely.
I would have mentioned it before, but on Friday night he was outplayed. Or he was in a beaten pack.
He was still outstanding. He's just a menace. It takes four to bring him down all the time. His physicality, his strength. He's a belting player. He's on the way to the NRL, that kid for sure. Two more tries before halftime. One more try before halftime, and that was the Ashton intercept. It was lovely, wasn't it? When you saw the ball go into his hands, you were like, good night. Yes. That's it. He's on his way.
That's a try. No one's going to catch him. So, yeah, I think one thing it does show, he's still got his pace, hasn't he? You know, we've not really seen that breakaway try so much this year, but...
Marshall's no slouch, is he? Came across.
No.
Cut off the angle. Nearly caught Foulis in the second half. Reading between the lines, Sam, in that first half, anything else that we should be adding?
Well, we've touched on it already, our defence. There was a period where Williams made an error on or around the 24th minute. And for the next 5 or 6 minutes, it was all Wigan in terms of possession. We didn't get out of our own 40-metre line with ball in hand. But it ended up with that interception. And in a way, that interception was forced because Wigan had nowhere else to go. Yeah. And they threw a desperate pass.
Can I just say, right, so at 16-4 at half-time, you two doubters, are you sort of thinking, oh, that's not enough? Or do you think we could kick on at that point? So, Rob, you know, you're the most cynical.
Well, I was, it's funny because I looked at my timeline because I was 25 minutes behind. And on numerous occasions, I predicted what was about to happen. I said, I think in the timeline, I said, I think what we need now is some kind of relief and for Ashton to intercept. And lo and behold, about 10 minutes later, he did. I think you were well into the second half. I was just having my breakfast. It was half time at my end. And I said, I could just sense Lindop was going to score a second try. And I sent you both a message. And seconds later on my screen, he did. So, I was all over it, Dennis. I knew what was happening.
Sam, did you think we could sort of kick on from that point? Or did you think that wasn't enough against Wigan?
No, I was surprisingly confident, given I'm usually a glass half empty person.
More than half.
Is that because you've drunk it? Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Yes, usually because I've drunk it. I think that the intercept from Ashton on the back of our defensive effort gave me the belief. I think, if I remember rightly, talking to Bish when we were discussing the first half, we said we did put that caveat: if we score first after half time, then we could run away with it.
To just clarify for the listener. Bish isn't a speech impediment, is it? Because he's been speaking to Bish. Do you want to just explain that, Sam?
Sorry, broken arm boy.
Yeah, he got over his cold.
Got over his cold.
Yeah,
he's got over his broken arm almost. Although he has had a scan, and they've said one of the pins is sticking out the other end, so
That's age for you, isn't it? That's just frailty. You get to a certain age, it's never going to be right again, really. That second Aaron Lindop try, boy, he knew where the try line was, and he probably stuck his head where he shouldn't have done, and he got over the line. Everyone went up as one, apart from one person. One person who didn't celebrate the try was Sam Burgess. And he was just looking, and I thought, I think he's got a problem. He was thinking to himself, how do I drop this kid at centre? I think when King's fit, I know Wrench is out for the season, and when Ratchford's back, I just worry that he's got a bit of a problem there in the back line, because I don't think Lindop put a foot wrong.
Do you think King could have done that? Scored that try in
not
in
a million
way.
Years. King can bring the ball off the line, off his own line, well, but Lindop brought the ball off his line very well, very determined and very brave. And I just think he looked at that and went, got a bit of an issue here, a good problem. And that's why I don't think he celebrated.
Yes. On the team sheet, you're looking, you're thinking, maybe they can exploit us at centre. But God, he stood up well, didn't he? He stood up well. And as you said, Rob, he almost exploded off his left step and towards the line with 10 metres to go. There's two cover tacklers converging, and he goes, I'm getting there.
Yeah. I feel that we have our two best centres at the moment, and I think it's up to King to re-win his place.
Do you think that, Sam? You agree with that? Two best centres at the moment?
Well, at the moment, yes. You cannot argue with that performance on Friday night. So, Rob's correct. If someone's coming back from someone's coming back from injury, it's up to them to perform immediately if they're put back into the team. Otherwise, I think he probably will play King, Rob.
What about the other centre? What about the other centre, Sam? You agree with that? That's the best centre then.
I think we're going to get onto him right near the end of this.
He's dodged the question there, Dennis.
I know.
Got the question. I always like it when Sam tells me whether I'm right or wrong. Have you noticed when I was in his garden many, many years ago, he told Mrs. Sankey whether she was right or wrong. I said, does he do that a lot to you? She goes, all the time. He loves doing that, doesn't it? Not thanks for your opinion, Rob. I think you're right, Rob. Not I think you're right. You're right. He loves it. Yes. He loves it.
Yeah.
I always feel I've been put in my place when he does it. So it's good.
No, you should stay. Why don't you see it as a positive? He's off again. Fucking hell.
Yates topped the tackle count with 35. Nicholson wasn't far behind on 33. Curry up there on 23. And then pretty much on the meters, well, I mean, Ashton got 175 meters. Thulis got 144, both because they got interception tries. Dufty was up there again. Our best forward was Vaughan on 91. Yates managed 79 meters. Now, I can't remember who it was after the game on Sky said that he thought possibly Yates, if we're going to fit him in this side, may have to continue at prop now that we've signed John Bateman. And I thought he gave more in the front row than Harrison.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering whether Harrison's the one that drops out rather than Yates. You can't drop Yates on that performance. Would we agree on that? Is that something we...
Well, I don't think you can bring Yates in. And like, you know, what Burgess said about Bateman, he's not bringing him over to just watch and sit on the bench. You know, he's brought Yates in to do a job. I don't think he's going to start, you know, playing around with that. I think he's going to be decisive and say, that's where you're playing, mate. Okay. So he's going to be in the pack. So and then you've got Bateman the same in the same respect. Harrison's a bit of a leftover. He's already a squad player or whatever. I agree. I think the two new players are going to be accommodated maybe more than Harrison.
So possibly what Wood drops out. And what if Wood and Bateman and Fitzgibbon are both fit, Sam? Looking at that team that played against Wigan, and let's say King as well. If all those three have been fit, what would your team have been? How would you move them around? There's too many pegs for the holes.
Personally, it is a big question mark about Fitzgibbon being fit, but if he's fully fit, and that's what you're saying, I'm going Vaughan, Yates, and then depending on what the game is, I'm happy whatever he wants to do at hooker, whoever he wants to start, because we're both going to play big minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm going Fitzgibbon, Nicholson, Bateman.
So you're moving Harrison and Curry on down into the bench.
Yes.
Yep. And they replace... Ooh. Who do they replace? They replace Wood and Crowther.
I'm not 100% sure. A fully fit Crowther, I think, would be challenging Curry, because if you're on the bench...
Well, this is a first, Dennis. Have you heard? He's not only demoted him to the bench, he's dropped him.
You're looking to cover several positions, and I think Curry can do that, because Curry can cover you three quarters by playing centre and letting one of your centres go to the wing or whatever.
Can Bateman not play out there? Is that not an option, put him in centre?
He's played internationally at centre to cover, but I don't think you'd bring him into the team to do that, would you? You want him in the pack, surely.
Based on current form, and Wigan are toothless without Field and French. Now, that may change when we get to the final, but I can't see another team at the moment. We've still got to play Hull KR. We'll see how we go against them. But this team now looks destined for the Super League Grand Final. On current form, if they play the way they played on Friday night, they're in the Super League Grand Final. They'll win the semi-final. Just a little part of me worries.
Orange alert.
Caviar detected.
Orange alert. Orange alert.
It's that you could go into that final with two players that are suspect to injury at the end of their careers in Fitzgibbon and Bateman. And I just hope, you know, if you lost two of those players within 30 minutes of the grand final, you'd be kicking yourself and say, why didn't we play with Holroyd? You know, why didn't we put...
Is Bateman coming with some injury or something?
Yeah, he's had a big injury this year. So he's missed a lot of games.
He has been playing in the last few weeks, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, until he said he was coming to Britain and he was dropped.
He hasn't been getting on with Marshall at West Tigers all year. So his form has dropped off. But nevertheless, he's still played like half a dozen NRL games this year.
You say that, you know, it's a championship team, but, you know, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Just looking at the tackles, I've never seen that before, where you've got three players on single-figure tackles. You've got Ashton, Thewlis and Dufty on three.
Well, they're not having to do any work. And the one tackle Duffy made, he got sent off.
Well, it probably explained it. But I think that represents and says how shit are Wigan.
Oh, they were poor. They were poor.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. So, Brad, you can't really get too far ahead. But saying that, you know, I do feel sorry for Hull KR this week. I'll say.
Second half, Sam had his favourite try down as the Holroyd try. My favourite try was Ashton's second try. I just thought that the cutout ball from Duffy, again, Duffy, was terrific. We've talked about the Lindop try.
Again, it went from Drinkwater to Williams to Duffy out to Ashton. So the whole link was there all night.
Could we both be Drinkwater? Could we all three of us be Drinkwater in that move? I don't feel catch and pass is that hard, really.
Well, I don't know about that. I think.
Are you happy with Josh?
I'm always happy with Josh. Anyway, I think he's excellent. So, where's his soundbite?
What are you drinking there? It's a very big glass of something you've got there. What is it?
It is actually beer. Yeah, so it's not whiskey. Bloody whiskey.
I thought bloody Jesus. Hell. But things have changed. Sam doesn't seem to be drinking tonight. Is he? Is he?
No.
Oh, hang on.
Here we go.
Oh, his glass is empty. There you go.
Yeah.
He'll be off.
It's not half empty.
However, hang on.
Empty. Yes, sorry.
I've got a second one ready.
He's got two glasses. He's got a chaser.
He's got two glasses. Oh, dear. Excellent intercept by Thulis. He's quick. He's not as quick as Ashton, and they ran him down, but he just changed his line a little bit to get over the line. And then, well, I mean, we've talked about the Holroyd try, we've talked about the second Ashton try and how good they were, but really I'd forgotten because the superlatives now for this Papua New Guinean centre are off the Richter scale, aren't we, Dennis? I mean, what a player. Yeah. Every time he scores, every time he catches the ball, I'm on the edge of my seat. There was a great shot put up of him this week. I put it on the WhatsApp group of him, smiling as he got over the line. I mean, he's possibly the buy of the century. I'd go that far now.
Would you go that far?
I'd go that far. It's either him or Craig Tightsell. Like one of those two.
I mean, it's the sheer consistency of the fella and also scoring that try in like so late on in a game.
Yeah, just, I know. Not so like, consistent. Oh, I'll just go down on one knee and play out the tackle and the hooter will go. No, the dedication. Yeah. Yeah. Dedication. Sam, are you in agreement
anything
there?
To add?
Yeah. I could hear the cheer all the way from Manly. It echoed around the world, you know, like the butterfly effect. I could hear the cheer and I thought there's going to be a piece on tonight. Actually, once again, it showed his strength. There was two or three Wigan players hanging off him as he actually finished the try.
Sam, sorry, what are you delighted. Thinking? Did that cheer come 20 minutes later? Because... Rob was 20 minutes behind.
No, I'd actually caught up by then.
Oh, had you?
I caught up.
Which bit did you cut out?
Just again, fast forward through the scrums and, you know, when the ball goes out of play, it's fine. You can
watch the
rugby league
sound,
in 50 minutes.
It probably was about 20 minutes.
Excellent. Oh, brilliant. What is the speed of sound?
Oh, I can't remember. It's a long time since I've done that in physics.
I just want to put a shout out to the referee who I thought was a lot better than Kendall Mintcake. Like the game was not about the referee this week. I know it was probably a slightly easier game to ref, although Wigan's not easy to ref because they're dirty all the time.
But what was the referee's name, Rob?
No idea. And that's one of the reasons why. Excellent. I think he's a good ref. If I don't know his name, I know he's a good ref.
That was a fucking brilliant answer. That was absolutely brilliant.
It's true. If you don't know the ref's name,
I'm complimenting you. This is the thing. Every time he gets a compliment, Sam, he doesn't take it, does he?
Dennis, I think you're right.
What?
Oh, he's put a thinking. He's not just a Dennis, you're right. He's put a thinking. I like it.
Yeah,
I
know.
It's like we're all learning together on this pod, isn't it? It's lovely. I thought he had a great game. And did he go up to the video ref once? I don't think he did.
No, not
even
once.
Even Roderick's tie at the end. Even when Roderick got over, he didn't go to the video ref, did he? So
did he?
That's because he was in the right position and backed himself to give the try.
He had a good game. He's my I'd like him in the grand final, whatever his name is.
The ref with no name.
Welcome to Yates's Wine Lodge, where every glass tells a story. Our expertise defines us. With Yates's experts carefully selecting the finest refreshments from around the world, and from the cash and carry, Yates's is the perfect setting for every occasion. Whether you're a connoisseur, a casual enthusiast, or simply a massive pisshead, pair your favorite wine with a selection of artisan cheese or a Benny Westwood sausage baguette as experience the vibrant ambience, live music, and the occasional fingering down the dimly lit side alley between the wine bar and Greg's. Today's Yates's drink is
Hey, I'd love a baby sham.
Yes, we'd all love a baby sham.
Onto the league table. So it now looks like this. At the bottom, London on 2 points, Hull on 6th in 11th, Castleford in 10th on 13, Huddersfield 9th on 14, Lee in 8th on 17, and then just on the cusp of the 6th in 7th is Leeds on 20. The top 6 reads as in 6th, Saints on 22, 5th, Salford on 24, Catalans in 4th, also on 24, and then we have 3 teams on 28 points, but the points difference makes the difference, with Wigan in 3rd, Hull KR in 2nd, and Wire out on top. The caveat being, both Wigan and Lee have a game in hand. Now, I was quite surprised, Sam. I just popped a little graph in here of Warrington's last 9 games. And I'm very positive, obviously, off the back of the Wigan win. And this positivity from Dennis has really rubbed off on me.
Is he?
I think we could possibly win all 9 of those games. I know it's a bold statement, but
it's a very bold statement.
It is.
Hull KR at home, London away, tick. Leeds in the Magic Weekend, tick. Castleford away, tick. Lee away.
Struggle.
I just think we've been bullied when we've been to Lee, but we won't be bullied with our pack these days at Lee. And I think a lot is taken off Lee when you're not bullied. Saints at home, they're shit. Huddersfield away, they'll have nothing to play for. And London at home on the final day. I think there's 9 out of 9. Sam, are you in agreement?
I think you can make a case for every single one of those.
There was no you're right, Rob, there? Definitely not. Yeah.
No, definitely not. I'd you give me 7 out of those 9. I'll take them
happy.
Because it's always injuries, and there's always, what I want is for us to win those last 3 and go into the playoff fit and confident.
Now, one thing I think we're all in agreement, and you both responded very quickly on WhatsApp. I mean, I've never seen thumbs up go so quickly after I said it. And that was that this time 12 months ago, Daryl Powell was sacked by Wire after they lost their 8th game on the trot away at Wakefield. And I quickly mentioned that that's all very well, but this Burgess effect, it was Daryl that put the wheels in motion. And you two agreed instantly. You both instantly thumbed me up. Yeah, definitely.
Summed you up.
Do we feel that the Powell effect has led to the Burgess effect, Dennis?
It could be, because it's like quantum physics, really, isn't it? Is that quantum physics is that you have a corresponding atom that can be independent of the atom that exists. And it's like the opposite. So the Daryl effect would have been the opposite of the Burgess effect. And that's what we're seeing. So quantum level, we could have gone through a bit of a vortex at the end of the season and arrived in a different universe. So there is that possibility.
Sam, Can you give any credit to Darryl Powell as to where we are now? I mean, he cleared out a lot of the squad.
Cleared out the deadwood. He took us to a dark place. So everything Burgess has done has seemed like manna from heaven for the players.
If he took out all the deadwood, surely Burgess just had the kindle to light. Wasn't that the way it works? Was that not?
Oh, well, yeah, I like that, yes. No, we've talked about Darryl before. I know you're trying to get a little bit of a rise out of us. I'm sure we all were of a similar opinion that he tried to do the right thing, not necessarily in the right way. But the upshot is he got rid of some players that needed moving on.
The Andre Previn effect. Is that what you're looking for?
Yes, not necessarily in the right order. Yes.
Now on BBC One, Barry Took airs some more of your points of view.
Good evening. My name is Barry Took, and welcome to Percentage Points of View. Tonight we'll be discussing the three new shows on the BBC: It's a Knockout, Jim'll Fix It, and Rolf Harris's Cartoon Time. But first of all, a letter from David Gloryhole of Pontefract, Yorkshire, in regards to Dennis Waywell and What Would Brian Bevan Say?
How refreshing to hear a man with a mind as agile and stimulating as Orwell's, while possessing a wit on a par with that of Oscar Wilde.
Well, a new jingle there, Percentage Points of View. Thanks for Sam for putting that together for us. With the patron money now at an all-time low on the podcast, I've been forced to close the P.O. box. As a result, moving forward, all correspondence will be addressed to Sam Sankey's residential address. He'll be providing that at the end of the podcast. We've finally received a letter from Jersey. You know, every week I say, someone listens in the Channel Islands. Lo and behold, I got the letter earlier this week. I'm going to read it out if I can find it. Just bear with me a sec. He makes no reference to he's the listener in Jersey, by the way.
No.
Just go straight in. So I've got the letter here.
Was it just postmarked, was it? Postmarked
proper
Jersey,
letter.
Was it?
Proper letter. Proper letter. Okay. Dear What Would Brian Bevan Say? I'm writing to complain about the biased coverage Sam Sankey instills in certain Warrington players.
Oh, God. Yeah.
It has become evident this season, no matter what Roderick Ty achieves on the field, Sam, in his admiration for the centre's play, still manages to sneak in a negative comment. I will be fascinated to know how on earth your so-called statistician will justify Ben Curry's inclusion in the team once Lachlan Fitzgibbon is fit and John Bateman touches down at Burton Wood Air Base. Well, I think you've already covered that, Sam. I think you've already said that you're willing to drop him.
Rob, yes, take that, Jersey. Take that, Channel Islands.
Exactly. Rob, please keep up the great work. Your presentation skills are a loss to Sky and the BBC, but the podcast... Oh, I didn't know it said podcast again. I didn't know it said that. I'm feeling a bit... Sorry, shouldn't have read that. May one also add, Dennis's informative and innovative style during his tackle bag section has made me more open-minded to alternative sports.
Oh,
thank you. It has me on the edge of my stairlift every week.
Oh. Well, you know, listen, I'll defend you, Sam. I mean, he called you a statistician. We all know you're a shitistician, so he got that correct. Wrong, didn't he?
Correct.
He says, I think the podcast suggestion of holding the Magic Weekend in Jersey 2 is a brilliant idea and would boost the Channel Islands economy, something that's been significantly affected since the introduction of budget Freddie Laker flights to the continent. Kind regards, Phil Waterboarding from Jersey, the Channel Islands. He goes on, he says, P.S., where's Daniel gone to? ? Although I don't miss him too. I don't miss him too much, as he seems a bit of a cunt like Sam.
Statistics, caveats, bollocks. Listen up, you norms, it's time for Sam to talk shite. For 5 minutes. It's Sam Sankey's shitistics. No. Dick's data. No. Anal cyst. No. Twat stats. No. Statistics. Yes. That's it. It's time for Sam Sankey's statistics. Accreditation removed.
Right, well, Mr. Phil Waterboarding, do you want me to mention Roderick Ty in this statistics part or not? Because we've had a wonderful July. Whatever way you look at it, Warrington in the last four games, I mean, we've won five in a row, but the last four games through July have been outstanding. We started with a 48-0 victory over the Giants, 38-18 against Leeds, 24-10 with a man down against Saints, and 40-4 on Friday night. During that time, when Warrington have won four and lost none, the rest of the top six, Wigan 1-2, lost two, Hull KR 1-3, lost one, Catalans 1-3, lost one, Salford 1-2, lost two, and Saints 1-0, lost four.
Hey.
Wow.
Oh, hey. That doesn't often happen.
It doesn't often happen. And by far, during that period, Warrington scored the most points of the top six, 142, an average of 35.5, and conceded the fewest at an average of just 8 points per game during that period. We scored 24 tries during that period, Ashton and Dufty taking the lead on that. And then our outstanding performers during July, well, we've talked about him many times, Dufty, 782 metres, Williams, 457, Vaughan, 449. Tackle busts, leading the way Dufty, but not far behind Vaughan on 20. Dufty's 29, Vaughan 20, Roderick Ty, 18. Mm-hmm. And tackles, Nicholson, 114, Curry, 115, Holroyd, 87, and Yates in just two games, 64. So all around, a fabulous July. Positives everywhere. And that's led to Warrington sitting top of the Super League table, having scored more points than anybody else, having conceded fewer points than anybody else, including Wigan, who have played a game less. And, onwards for 9 wins in a row from here.
Well, I was just about to say that, Sam. I mean, based on what you've just said, I mean, that really does back up the 9 wins, doesn't it?
I think I have to say then, from them stats, all the players are actually performing. There's not really any players that you would say, oh, they're, but they're not very good, they're not having a good time or whatever. They're all actually in form, aren't they?
I think, Dennis, even the players on the who've been on the fringe, people like Musgrove, who, you know, I've occasionally said not stepping up, they're coming on off the bench and they're playing at 7 out of 10. So even our lesser performers are putting in a decent stint, and everybody's pulling in the same direction.
I have to say that was excellent. The only thing that we made a mistake on, Sam, is that I said often happen, and you repeated often happen. Now, is it not happen often? It's been really bothering me. Oh, it was right at the beginning of this section. Can you cut my voice in so you could change it? Just leave it with Sam saying it wrong. Thanks.
Kevin Brown needs to work on his were and was. He says was rather than were every time he opens his mouth.
Before that, John Craven's News Round.
Just the one news story this week, and that is a big one. Sam Burgess has signed a contract extension, which will see him stay at the Halliwell Jones until 2026. Now, I mean, there's got to be a clause in there, hasn't there, for an NRL return? Should we have a bet? Does he see out, based on he keeps up his good form and he doesn't have a Darryl Powell issue, will he see us out Sam, until the end of 2026? Or will the NRL come calling and that clause will suddenly come into effect?
Oh, affect or effect?
Affect with an A. There's no the. The secret is if there's a the before it, it's effect. If there's not a the before, it's affect.
Oh, thank you.
Oh. Is that just a little trick to remember, or is that a rule?
Just a little trick.
Glad you asked him. When you just as he ate something, that was perfect. He's eating toast. He just ate it, and then Sam went in there. Perfect timing.
Come on, Mr. Sankey. Stop swerving the question. Will he stay till the end of 2026?
I think if he does really well and breaks 7,492 years of us not winning it, then the NRL will be sniffing round the moment there's a job vacancy halfway through next year.
But next year?
Mm. But I can see him at least seeing out till the end of next season, subject to form continuing and all that type of stuff. I don't think he'll go before the end of next season.
All right, we'll have a little game then. We'll all predict a date. Okay, so give me a date.
A date that he finishes or a date that
date that he stands down from Warrington, the date that he's no longer officially the coach of Warrington. I'm going to go... I'll go December the 10th, 2025.
I'll
go slightly earlier than that.
Right.
I'll go whatever the date of the grand final is next year, the following weekend. So it'll be about the 15th of October.
15th of October, 2025. Mm. Dennis, are you going to break this clause effect and say he's going to stay to the end, or are you going with that as well?
I'm going to say something controversial. I'm going to say it's June 2026.
Mm. Like mid-season?
Mm.
Yeah. I like it, Dennis. I like it. Right, we'll come back to that.
And are we all being dead positive and saying that the reason he would be standing down is a top half club in the NRL comes sniffing.
Listen, we're being very positive. The fact that we'll still be podcasting in 2026.
Yeah, I did think that when I saw that. I thought, oh, Jesus Christ. Off the back of Sam's statistics, this team and the way they're playing, and you know, Sam made a good call there about, you know, certain players in the team are playing above and beyond what you'd expect them to be playing. The last time I've seen a team playing like this was under another prop. I know he wasn't in the stand, but Les Boyd. They all were behind Les Boyd. They all looked up to him. They were all a little bit frightened of him. And we had a very, very similar run into that premiership that we won. I know Tony Barrow did a lot as well, but there was a figure there that they all respected. And we got on the front foot and we went forward. And there was a few players in that team that played above where you'd expect them to. I've not seen that. I didn't see that during the Tony Smith years. I thought during the Tony Smith years, we just had a very talented side. But I'm not sure they work as hard as this lot.
So what you're talking about is average players putting in good performances, good players putting in very good performances and so on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone giving a sort of 5 or 10% more than you would normally expect somehow. Mm.
And it's taken another big prop forward to put it right. So, Dennis is unsure with that. He's not. Oh, look.
Yeah, I think so. Bollocks that. Well, if you feel alone,
Campos, it's Madame Boyd here, your trusted primrose and blue coat. Can I remind anyone entering the gassed shot put competition this afternoon that the talcum powder is strictly prohibited? This is due to the confusion and misuse of the powder during the crescendo years. and the suspicious world record shot point throw of 309 metres. Hi-dee, hi. That's right, Daryl dear. You just suck it up, and it all goes away.
Oh, Sammy. Oh, what a wonderful idea to enter our very own team at the Satanitas of Paris Olympics. Well, I'm so excited. I could hop, skip and jump whilst wearing my rimming OBE. Will you be participant? Will you be taking part, Samuel? Or will you just be our pillars of strength?
The pillars of your game will get you home. The pillars of your game will get you home. Oh, sorry, Ralphie, I didn't see you there. I'm too busy trying to find a replacement to light the Olympic cauldron now that Ambassador Adam Pills has pulled out with a torn hamstring.
Oh, yes, he hasn't got a leg to stand on.
What about Wizzy Rascal, Ralphie? He can always drive down the stadium for maximum impact.
Oh, don't be ridiculous, Samuel. He's crashed more times than trying to load Daley Thompson's decathlon on a ZX Spectrum. Why not let Mr. Moron light it? He's used to money going up in flames every week. Although, after those muscles I consumed at last night's gala dinner, my Olympic ring is on fire this morning. Now tell me, Mr. Burgess, have you sorted out our 4x100 sprint relay team? What with all our high flyers, we're bound to win this at a canter.
Unfortunately, Dustin's pulled out, Ralphie. He got a fright when he heard the starting pistol go off. Phil was his concussed again after hitting his head on the high jump bar. Toby King's pulled up lame. And Ashton refuses to run on the day of the Sabbath. Apparently, he's gone all religious since he's been praying for a miracle.
Oh. Is it to end famine in Africa and invoke world peace?
No, Ralphie. Just for a Wellington Centre to throw him a ball.
Oh, tackle sacks.
We're bringing in Benjamin Curry and Stephen Ratchford to run the bends.
Oh, Sammy. With those two running, we'll sink far down the medal table. We'll end up with the bends. I mean, who's running the leg down the back straight?
Is that you, Mother?
Oh, my sacra primrose and blue. He's bound to drop the babata, the sticky thing. I'll get it caught in his escalated cummerband. What on earth would Stuart Middleton think?
Hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
And who on earth is running down the home straight?
Professor Broomhead, Ralphie. If you tell him the inland revenue's behind him, he runs quicker than Usain Bolt.
Oh, goodness me, Samuel. Just look at him. Look at his Linford Christie spandex. Why, I never knew the professor was so well endowed.
No, Ralphie. I think you'll find he's just shoved a Benny Westwood saucy baguettes down his shorts.
Oh, well, that explains the mustard patch. Right, Samuel. You give the team a final pillar of your track and field team talk. I'm off to do a bit of sightseeing. and take Tanya Arnaldo of the Champs-Élysées.
Well, I need to say to the listener that this came through on my WhatsApp from Mr. London, and it said, "Here you go, Sam, enjoy." And I didn't open and listen to it at that stage. I just texted him back, "I'm sure there'll be something about Olympic rings and rimming." And I wasn't disappointed, really, was I? I wasn't disappointed. A couple of things. The Chris Sandow years. Are you still technically his agent, or did he sack you in the end?
No, I think I'm still technically his agent. Yeah. I'll reach out to him about that.
And Benny Westwood baguettes down Linford Christie's spandex did give an image.
Yeah, it was down Professor Broomhead's.
Very on point. Yeah. The baguettes in Paris. I mean, this was the way things were. Have we been watching the Olympics? I see that the BBC have cut back from their 28 channels that they gave in Tokyo to like 3. See, that's been a bit of a cutback. Does anyone else think that the men's diving is just a massive gay-a-thon? Like they all get in that spa together. Like they can't wait to get in it together at the end. And I was like, look at this. And I got instantly told off by Mrs. London. But I just, there we go.
I can't comment. I'm not watching it.
No. I do want to give a big heads up though to the BBC, because yet again, I thought Dave Woods' commentary in that Wigan game was superb. And on the flip side, if you just turn over to BBC Radio 5 Live, you've got Matt Newsom, who is also outstanding. To top it off, you can then go to Warrington Radio and listen to Dave Birch. Those three commentators, Dave Woods, Matt Newsom, and Dave Birch, are in a league of their own.
Ooh.
So I think we're very, 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 very blessed to have three such brilliant commentators on three different medium channels all at the same time.
Where am I?
On the podcast.
What do you want?
Innovation.
Whose side are you on?
Rugby League. We want innovation. Innovation. Innovation.
You won't get it.
By hook or by crook, we will.
Who are you?
I am number 2.
Who is number 1?
You are tackle bags number 1.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
Dave Birch will be jizzing off into his headband when he hears
that. Exactly what I was going to say. This week, the RFL have agreed to pause changes to the tackle height planned for 2025, following the latest data that showed a 75% reduction in head contact. So,
data?
Definitely data.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, don't say data.
Been here too long, sorry.
The governing body says the punishments earlier in the season has facilitated a change in players' behaviour. So all that shenanigans early in the season, they're saying, is now sorted it all out. I don't know about that. Not really sure. So it will remain the same for the rest of the year. If those statistics remain the same for the rest of the year, then the rules will continue next year. So that's good news. This is why I've now got a new titled Tackle Bags intro, and I'll come on to that in a minute. Just to complete this little bit, a spokesman for the RFL said, pressure from Tackle Bags team, who presented some of the arguments against the armpit rules, offer a need for us to review and assess the current situation. The same RFL spokesman, he went on to say, when you look at some of the rugby league alternative things to do presented by Tackle Bags, the future does look a bit shit. So, you know.
Well done, Dennis.
Thank you. Sam, do you...
Does that mean you're not going gravy wrestling next week?
I'm afraid not, no. And this is the thing, I've had to cancel
all my
appointments and attendances at all these festivals and events. And this is the thing now. So the title of the Tackle Bags has changed now. So we need to have some innovation, because beyond the game itself, but also rugby league in general, is absolutely shit. So I will be turning my attention back to innovations, the original Tackle Bags idea, and that will, you know, be presented in the next few weeks. So I'll come up with some stuff. I have had a few letters, if you want to listen to that, you know, because this section is very popular, and I do get lots of correspondence. So it's the first letter. Mr. Andy Job, I usually watch 2 or 3 games a week. If it wasn't for your continued perseverance on this ridiculous rule, I would have had to given up rugby league. I'm just reading it, scrunched up the paper. I would have had to give up rugby league and have to resort to masturbating for an extra 160 minutes a week.
Oh.
So, you know, I've at least done some good there.
Wouldn't that be 240 minutes if he watches 3 games?
Yeah, well, he did say 2 to 3 games, so I think he gets bored by the third one and already cracks one off.
Or he shoots his load before on the 60th minute.
Yeah, he could be. Yeah. But if Roderick Tye's story, he probably would actually climax, wouldn't it? Now, the other thing, so I've had to cancel all my events. So Bryn Llewellyn just wrote a short one. Excellent work. Will you still be coming to this year's Bog Snorkeling Championship? Well, I'll not be going now to that. And then finally, I've got one off Ms. June Oxter. I listen to Tackle Bags every week. I admire your work, the work you do. It goes unappreciated by most. So well done.
Not in Jersey, Dennis.
She did also put, do you still want your tickets for the August Fetish Week next year? Well, I mean, I might as well still go if it doesn't clash with the fixtures. So, that.
Have you thought of going undercover? Like maybe you could do like a panorama special, you know, like some of these journalists that go undercover. You could maybe infiltrate the IMG headquarters to see what's going on there.
Yeah, because they've sacked everyone this week, haven't they? Or they've made people redundant.
They're getting like making 10 redundant or something. And don't think they're doing too much for their $450,000 a year, 12-year contract. Ouch.
Yeah. And isn't the main guy relocating to Australia as well?
Oh, is he?
Yes. That is also the case.
And aren't they looking for a new marketing director or something? Aren't they got a job up for that? You up for that, Sam?
Oh, Dennis is the man for the marketing. Surely.
Yeah, but busy with Tackle Bags, really.
When's Ralph coming on, Sam? When's Ralph coming on?
Are we going to Sam now? Yeah, when is he coming on, Sam?
He's too busy rimming his MBA or OBE or whatever.
How dare you?
Oh, we'll get letters. We'll get letters.
Predictions.
Good afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
I'll predict Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
Hello. Well, can you believe it? Warrington are now top of Super League. I had to spray WD-40 on my circuits to calm myself down. Okay,
it's on to Hull KR, where Wire will score 85% of the points. Yes, yes, I know. Clearly my flux capacitor is overheating. I blame the Burgess effect.
Well, there you have it. Hull has gone for 85% win to the Wire, with Wire finally returning to the Halliwell Jones with a top-of-the-table clash against Hull Kingston Rovers. The game is this Friday night at 8 p.m. Now, I'm happy to go first. I think I've been sitting in the middle most weeks. Hull KR without forward Matty Staughton. He's absent with a one-match ban. I'm not sure how much of an influence he is, but they've lost a player. I think this will be closer than we think, because I think Hull KR are pretty good. I also think they might throw the ball around a bit. I don't think they're going to put it up the jumper and go down the middle a bit like Saints and Wigan did. So I think we might have a few problems in terms of keeping them at bay. So I think about 28-18 to Wire, which is a 60% points winning margin for Warrington. Dennis, you're up next.
Yeah, there's one other point about Hull KR. I have watched a couple of games. They're very quick. They're playing a very fast game at the moment. So that in combination with throwing it around, definitely. So I do think they'll score more points. I'm with you on that. But I still reckon we'll get 67% of the score for a win.
Mm. Right, Mr. Sankey.
You're both right. It is the highest scoring team in Warrington against the second highest scoring team in Hull KR. They're both the cleanest teams, giving away the fewest penalties. Mm-hmm. And all other statistics are very, very similar. So I think it'll be tight too. I think we will edge it and we will be 26-20 winners. So what's that? 26 into 46.
Play the calculation.
57%.
It's like Zoe Ball's dad. What was his name? Can't remember. Johnny Ball.
He was a hero of mine. Think of a number.
Three. There you go.
Right. Well, that's almost it, boys. We got anything else to add before we sort of sign off? Nothing?
Yeah.
We're way too positive.
Way too positive. Okay, that's it from the podcast. We'll be back before Sam packs his bags for his holiday. So until then, it's a goodbye from Sam.
Don't you know? All the best.
A so long from Dennis.
Good seeing you.
And a cheers from me. You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say? Talking about a revolution. We've got nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Absolutely fuck off.
Because we're so positive.
There was no talk about pillars this week.
Crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation. Wasting time in the unemployment lines. Sitting around, waiting for a promotion. Don't you know, talking about a revolution. Sounds who are people gonna rise up and get their share? Poor people gonna rise up and take what's there. Don't you know you better run, 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 run. Oh, I said you better run, 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 run. Cause finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about the revolution. Talking about a revolution, oh no. Talking about a revolution.